Good afternoon. And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church, and a special thank you to our kindergarten through third grade students from our school as they kicked off our service with their opening music. Give thanks to God for them and for those who have helped them in their preparations for this afternoon. And we do conclude our Advent midweek preparations with our final service here this afternoon in the season or the series that has been called Every Heart Prepare. That does then lead us into the celebration of Christmas, which begins 1 week from today with our Christmas Eve services. We do have a family service at 3 and 5 p.m., the Divine Service at 7:15 p.m., and then the Lessons and Carol Service at 10 o'clock p.m. Christmas Eve, one service on Christmas Day at 10 o'clock a.m., and of course, everyone's invited to join us for all of the services, or as many as you can attend. We do have one final meal then following this service, and that'll be Sloppy Joe's, I believe, so you're invited to stick around and join us for that. And lastly, as you can see, our poinsettias are up for the celebration of Christmas, but you can still submit those pink forms to the church office by this coming Monday, and that information that you submit will be still included in all of our Christmas bulletins for the upcoming week in memory and honor of those that you so choose. Order of service for this afternoon is Divine Service Setting 3, begins on page 184 in our hymnals. We sing now our first hymn, hymn 332, Savior of the Nations Come.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Almighty, ever-living, and everlasting God, our help in ages past and our hope for years to come, you sent your Son into our flesh to live among us in our world and to walk with us in our times and places so that we would be saved from all sins in every time and place. As we survey anew Jesus' journey from the manger to the cross, grant that we may draw great comfort and confidence in the reality of your birth, that faith may again be kindled in our hearts. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for our third Advent midweek service is from Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not, until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Together we confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, just about 1 week to go until the big day. By now, preparations for Christmas are coming to an end, right? Items crossed off the list of preparations for Christmas include getting Christmas lists, buying Christmas gifts, for children, for grandchildren, for teachers, for special friends. Wrapping said Christmas gifts. Setting up your Christmas tree, putting up your Christmas lights, setting up all your favorite decorations. Cleaning your house, baking cookies, buying food and drink for all of your Christmas parties. The world all around us has clearly shown that it is the Christmas season, all the lights, the decorations, and the music that are to be seen and to be heard. Well, this Advent season, in our preparation for Christmas, we have taken a look at key decorations for the season. The first were the evergreens, like wreaths or garland or the Christmas tree itself. Much of the non-believing secular world around us can enjoy those same decorations without thinking about their symbol or what they mean. The greens remind us that we have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Christmas tree itself, in its shape, points us up to our triune God who is in heaven. The lights all around us can be enjoyed by the world as they glimmer radiant in the cold and dark winter months. But for Christians, we see these lights as reminders of the Lord Jesus Himself, who is the light of the world. And we need Jesus to shine His light into our sinfulness and to scatter away the darkness of death. The last decoration that prepares us for Christmas cannot be so easily ignored. The last, but not the least, decoration is the creche, otherwise known as the nativity scene. But that word creche may be new to you, as it was for me not too long ago. It comes from a Latin word that means nursery, and it is still in use in France for places where children are cared for. Once again, the creche or the nativity scene got its start in Europe, as did the evergreens and the Christmas lights. For there, Christianity had spread rather prominently throughout the Middle Ages. And traditionally, the creche does include what you see here in the front of our church, and most likely in all of the creches in our own homes. The stable, the manger, Mary and Joseph, shepherds, animals, magi, and of course the newborn Jesus. Others often include a star and an angel as well. And these creches serve as visible reminders of the actual birth of Jesus. They have also then today been the center of conversation in these recent years as culture all around us wants to trivialize Christianity itself and blend other religious beliefs in with it. Now, truth be told, our normal creches are not overly accurate. Not to be too much of a stickler, but the night of Jesus' birth would have only had the manger, baby Jesus, of course, and Mary and Joseph. The shepherds would come in on the scene a little bit later that night. The angels, however, were not there at the scene to mark the actual location of Jesus' birth, but only served to give the shepherds clues to where they would find the baby. Magi, of course, would not appear for several weeks later, if not several months down the road. There may have certainly been animals nearby to the feeding trough, the manger where Jesus was laid, but no mention is made of any specifically. Even the stable that is so common as a staple of our nativity scenes is an extrapolation from the presence of the manger. Lower levels of Bethlehem homes in the time of Jesus did serve as stalls or dwelling places for the household animals, and that very well could have been the place of Jesus' birth. Despite the ubiquitous innkeeper of Christmas plays, there is no mention of such a figure in the gospel account. And even the word that is translated as in Luke's account is the same word that is used in Luke 22 as the guest room of the house where the Passover would be celebrated. It's not overly vital that these additions have been made to the creches that we so enjoy. What is of utmost importance is the presence of Jesus with Mary and with Joseph. And so the creche is meant to solidly represent and to teach the birth of Jesus Christ. That Jesus was laid in a manger testifies to the low estate of his mother Mary and of her husband Joseph. Jesus, the Son of God, from all of eternity, was not born into a royal palace. He was not welcomed in by an entourage of courtiers with lavish gifts and royal wrappings. Jesus' birth here into this world, his first coming, was virtually invisible to the world at large. Shepherds, too, would have no clue whatsoever about Jesus' birth if it were not for the appearance and the message of the holy angel. Even the shepherds' words about Jesus' birth after the fact did not seem to impact Bethlehem or Jerusalem very much. For there does not appear to be any familiarity or recognition of the birth of Jesus among the travelers in and out of Jerusalem when the Magi do finally arrive on the scene and start asking their questions. And so the creche gives grounding to the account of the Lord Jesus' birth. The Christmas season, of course, is filled with so many lively characters, such as Rudolph and Frosty, the Grinch, Scrooge, Kevin McAllister, and Buddy the Elf. While none of those characters truly exist, the Lord Jesus does exist. And his birth into this world is as real as yours and as mine. St. Luke makes it a point to tell the recipient of his gospel, Theophilus, that he did the work of checking with the eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus, of his life, in order to write down a faithful account of his work. And so Luke grounds the birth of the Lord Jesus in real history, citing the presence of Caesar Augustus and his implementing of a Roman census. He further lists real places like Nazareth of Galilee and Bethlehem of Judea. And the fact that the story is fairly plain in its essence, minus the appearance of the angels, of course, lends to the historical nature of these words of Luke. And this grounding of the Lord Jesus' birth in reality is of great importance to the Apostle John, the author of our epistle text for today. John lived through much of that first century following the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus. He saw just how quickly and how easily false ideas and teachings about Jesus could arise even amongst the faithful people of God. And St. Paul had already written several epistles meant to target similar false teachings. At the end of the first century, John knew of the importance of emphasizing the true person of Jesus Christ as fully God and fully man. He began his gospel, which is quite possibly the last biblical book to be written, by saying the Word of God, the Son, became flesh and dwelt among us. John then writes in his first epistle, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life was made manifest. We have seen it, and we testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Seen, heard, touched, manifested. All words of concrete evidence for the real existence of Jesus Christ as true God and as true man. John, who had been exiled for the sake of the gospel to the island of Patmos, and suffered other persecutions, had no reason to lie. He was more than willing to suffer and to die for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. Plenty of opportunity existed to discredit John in the time around his writings, to prove that his claims were false, but none could do it. John's word is true. Jesus is the Christ, the one who was truly born in Bethlehem, the one who was laid in a manger. He did not stay in the manger, however, but grew up to live perfectly the life for us. He took on our sin and died in our stead upon the tree of the cross. And through that act, we have forgiveness of all of our sin, eternal life, and salvation. And the creche, the nativity scene, points us to the birth of Christ, the very revelation of the Son of God being made flesh for us, preparing us for the celebration of Christmas and the joy of our salvation. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. We stand together to sing the offertory. Seated again as the tithes and offerings are collected. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For eyes to behold the Father's hand in all creation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For awareness of beauty and the living traditions of the Church that bring Christ to our eyes through the arts and the crafts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that we may see the signs of Christ's return even as we celebrate his birth and encourage one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. Let us pray to the Lord. That we may be living testimonies of new life in Christ through our loving service to our neighbor, both in word and in deed. Let us pray to the Lord. That we may be thankful for the bountiful harvest we enjoy amid the many festivities of this season, and that we may be generous to those in need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. That we may love one another as God so loved us, forgive one another, and work together in the unity we have in Christ Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord. That we may not be lured into temptation or despair or be distracted by the false Christmases around us, but always hold the true meaning of Christmas in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Most High, our rock and our salvation, you have never abandoned us, but have always come to the aid of your people. Grant that the eyes of our hearts would see you just as your people of old saw your Son when he came into this world, walked and taught among us, and gave his life for us. Give us such faith that we may trust all that our fathers and mothers of old saw, touched, and heard, just as it has been revealed to us through your word. For your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and comes to us even now by your Spirit's power. Through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, Heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
We're seated now as our closing hymn is sung, verses 1 and 5 of 357, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.